Have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And I'm just going to stop reading. I want to take as my text this morning, verse 4. Christ's words back to Satan. Satan comes to him and he tells him. And let's not ignore the fact that he comes to Christ. Satan comes to Christ when Christ is at a weak state. I mean, he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, physically, he's weak. Emotionally, he's no doubt drained. I mean, to go without food or water for 40 days, to purpose for 40 days and 40 nights to set your heart upon God, I mean, you're going to be drained at the end of that. And Satan knows when to come and tempt us. There's no doubt about that. Satan watches us and he knows us and he understands us a lot of times better than we understand ourselves. And he likes to come to us in that weak moment. You know, when you're feeling strong, you know, he may not tempt you. But when you're weak, that's what he's like a lion, the Bible says. You know, a lion doesn't go after the strongest animal necessarily. He goes after those that would be falling behind, those that would be the weaker animals, the young and perhaps even the wounded, the tired. And that's when he comes to us. So he's come to Christ now, and Christ is in a weakened state. And he begins to tempt him. He said, "Won't you turn these stones into bread?" I'm not going to go into all about that. I want you to think about what Christ said. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He makes a statement here, and the thing about it is that man needs bread. Man needs food. And in Christ's weakened state, he really needed some food. And in his mind, no doubt, you know, food would be really good. And he had the power, the wherewithal, to just speak and no doubt turn stones into bread and he'd have something to eat. He could have done that. But as we even said in Sunday school, that would be apart from the will of God. God had not purposed to use the power in that manner to satisfy his own selfish desires. He didn't purpose that. You know, every time the Lord exercised any of his glory, any of his omnipotence, his knowledge, all of it was done in accordance with the will of God. All of it was done in service. It was never done to satisfy himself. Do you remember when he walked to the road? walked going through Samaria. And he got tired. And what did he do? He sat down. Well, why didn't he just, you know, speak the word and all of a sudden exercise some of his omnipotence at that time, his all-powerfulness? He didn't do that because it would have been to satisfy self. And here he is in this weakened state. He could have turned the stones into bread. He's hungry. But he says no. Now, the thing about it is there's a lot of times that we feel like we have to have something. We feel like it's necessary. And maybe it is in one sense. And physically, it was necessary for him to get food. Physically. But it was more important that he do the will of God. It was more important that he do the will of God. And that's really the whole meat of the matter for the day. There are things of God, the Word of God, is more essential to us than anything else. The Word of God is more vital to our life than any of the things that we might list as important. The Word of God, it's not just the Word itself, but it's the things of God. You know, you go back even where Christ was quoting from was actually Deuteronomy chapter 8. And listen to the words of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses is speaking to the people and he says, "And he humbled," speaking of God, "and God humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger." Speaking to Israel, God allowed you to be hungry. He brought you out into the wilderness for 40 years. Not 40 days, but 40 years. And he brought you to the wilderness where there's no way that you can humanly be sustained. That you don't feed millions of people in the wilderness. You just can't do it, Brother Mike. There's no way that they... What are they going to eat? Now, in human terms, they're going to starve to death. There's no way they can survive. There's no water fountain to turn on. There's no way that they can survive in the wilderness. How do they survive for 40 years? I mean, at the very least, you think, well, our clothes are going to be torn up and wore out. I mean, 40 years. I mean, clothes don't last 40 years. Most of them don't. How are they going to survive? How are they going to face the elements? And they have vital needs. And yet God allowed them to go into that wilderness, into that condition, for the sole purpose that He could show them, I'm the one that meets your needs. I'm the one that's going to meet your vital needs. Listen to what He says. And He humbled thee, and He suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. You ever heard of manna, Israel? Manna? No, never heard of that. Manna is what God's going to feed you with. Every morning when you get up, there's going to be bread. Manna. That you can take up and you can gather. And it will sustain you. It'll be enough for you to live off of today. It'll be enough for you to live off today. Don't get more than you need, because it'll rot. You're going to have to be totally dependent upon me. You're going to have to be completely dependent upon me. And He did this so that you might know. Neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, or bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Listen, He did this so that you would understand God is going to take care of your needs. God is going to be the one that supplies your vital needs. It's not just about the bread. It's a bigger picture. It's not just about food. It's the idea that God supplies our every need. And yet we have in our mind, there's so many things that we need. You think about this. What is it that keeps you going? Why do you get up in the morning? You know, trying to just live to the next paycheck. You know, some people, they feel like, you know, you begin to try to boil your life down. What's it about? Why do you exist? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you live? Why are you here? You know, a lot of times we'll put our life in terms of different things. Sometimes we put our life in terms of buying things, possessions, material things. What keeps you going? Why do you go to work? Well, I want to have a little bit nicer house. I want to have a little bit nicer car. I want to have some nicer clothes. I want to be able to put my children into college. I want these things. Look, there's nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with those things. But listen, do you understand that you live by the bread of God? You live by the Word of God. Well, you really don't need those possessions near as much as you need God. God's what you really need. And He'll take care of the other things. What you need is God. And you go on and you think about it. Some people, you know what they really want? They want to be popular. They want people to like them. And they feel like they need that. And look, you know, they begin to even try to manipulate people and try to attach themselves to people in order to be liked or to be loved and this sort of thing. You know what you need more than that? You need God. You need God more than anything. Some people like power. Oh, I just want to get into a high-ranking position. If I could ever reach to a certain level in society, well, that's what I want. You know what you need more than that? You need God. No matter what it is that you can come up with, and I don't know what all you might would come up with as far as the reasons why you get up in the morning and the reasons why you do the things that you do, and you may look at those things and you say, I really, really need that. I have to have it to live. I want you to understand, you don't need that. What you need is God. And then He takes care of whatever you need. God must come first. God is essential. You know, people think about relationships. Oh, if I could just have me a good woman. God's made us and designed us for relationships. We need each other. We need people. We do. But we need God most. Before anything else, we need God. You may be sitting here today and say, well, I just wish God would bring somebody to me in my life. You know, a man or a woman, somebody that I could love. You may feel like, you know, that's what I need to be happy. That's what I need to be joyful. That's not what you need. You need God. You need God. See, if you don't have God, no matter what else you put on your list, it's worthless. It's garbage. It's junk. It will not sustain you. God is essential. He's essential. And I'm going to just say this while I'm here. You say, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm not talking about being saved. Although that would work too. I could preach that side of it. I'm not talking about saved. I'm talking about a relationship with God that transcends just the fact that you once knew Him, that you have known Him through salvation. I'm talking about communion with Him. I'm talking about drawing your meaning and your purpose, drawing your lifeblood from Jesus Christ. Christ said, I am the bread of life. You need to consume Him. That needs to be what keeps you going. Because everything else falls into place only when Christ is what you see as your essential need. What if you were to wake up tomorrow and like Job, you didn't have anything? Listen, the money's gone. I just create an environment here, just a little scenario here. Suppose that some terrorists got over here and they see these oil wells or these oil storages or whatever it is they got stored over here. So I'm going to blow them things up. And they're successful. They blow it all up. And in the process of doing that, they destroy all this part of this country. It's all gone. You come back to your house, it's gone. There's no house there. Your loved ones, your husband or your wife or your children, they're gone. There is nobody left but you. You happen to be in a particular place where you didn't have anything. I mean, you didn't get hurt. You didn't get hit yourself. But everything else is gone. Your job, there's no job. There's no job. The world's in chaos. There's nothing. I mean, it's gone. It's gone. Your family is gone. You know, a lot of times, really, particularly some of us mothers, or you mothers, I'm not a mother, but some of you mothers, you know, you think, well, my life is my children. What if they're gone? What if they're gone? You wake up tomorrow, they're gone. So, in essence, anything that you might have put on your list as your reason for existence or the thing that keeps you going, it's gone. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, your life has to be something bigger than these things. Your life needs to be something more than a job, more than a house, more than a car or clothes, more than even your children, more than a wife or a husband. More than school. More than a church. It's got to be something bigger. See, man's complex. We need something bigger than ourselves is what we need. And the only thing bigger that can fit that bill is Jesus Christ. Because if you wake up tomorrow and everything else is gone, and you know the Lord, you still have the most essential thing. You have Christ. Christ is what sustains us. Christ is what keeps us going. Christ is what defines our reason for existence. Christ is what identifies who and what we are. Christ taught us to look for a kingdom that moth and rust, that does not corrupt them. Thieves do not break in and steal. He taught us to look at that. He taught us to look for that heavenly home. Everything in this world is passing. It's fleeting. It's temporary. Bread is temporary. You know you're going to get hungry again if you eat today. Have any of y'all ever got full? Have you ever just said, well, I've got all the food I need? Well, I mean, it just doesn't happen. You eat today, you're going to be hungry tomorrow. You say, well, I'll eat big. I'll eat really good food. You're still going to be hungry tomorrow. It just, look, it's fleeting. You know, you get money. You know what happens when you get money? The Bible says that the things that you got to pay for increases. I'm kind of misquoting that scripture, but I'm giving you the essence of it. I can't remember just how it goes. But in other words, the more money I get, the more mouths I have to feed. The more things come in, the more payments go out. Money goes through your fingers. You say, well, I'm going to hang on to mine. Well, you hang on to it. You hang on to it. That's good. I mean, that's all right. But I'm going to tell you, it's still fleeting. What happens when a bank gets blown up? What happens when the stock market crashes? A lot of folks learn pretty quick that money can disappear real quick this past year. It can disappear real quick. It's fleeting. Well, you need something that's bigger. Something bigger than yourself. And the thing about it is that, again, I'm not talking about salvation. Although we could preach that. And there's no doubt there's people here that need that. And I want to encourage you to think about this. Listen, there's a lot of things you may be looking toward in your life. And you're saying, if only I had this, well, then I could have contentment. If only I had that, well, then I could have peace of mind. I'm going to tell you something. The only peace that you're ever going to have is found in Jesus Christ. And that's not just some little word that they teach preachers to say. It's not just something that we just throw out. That's real. There have been people that really, as far as this life, they could have had anything. Listen, Moses raised in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh just wasn't anybody. Pharaoh was king of the world for the most part. He was king over Egypt. He was leader of Egypt. He was like a god to people. Well, look, he could have had it all. Power, prestige, he had it all. We walked away from it. He walked away from it. Why? Because he said, there's something bigger than all this. Something more wonderful than all this. It's God. I go back to my mind to Solomon. Solomon was a man who had everything going for him. You know, Solomon was a good-looking man. The Bible says he was. The Shunammite woman said he was beautiful. You're altogether lovely, Solomon. Solomon was a good-looking man. Some of us can't claim that. But Solomon could. Solomon had it all going for him. Look, money. He had all the money he could ever want. You know, he was at the point, really, anything he saw he wanted, he just said, well, yeah, I think I'll get me that. You know, we can't do that. But Solomon could. Women? 600 wives. 400 concubines. He had 1,000 women. Could have had more if he wanted them, but he figured 1,000 was enough. Horses? Chariots? Art? He collected art. Build things? Liked to build things. Y'all like projects around the house? He had projects around the house. He built gardens and he built houses and he built buildings and he just had a great old time building things. And he looked at all that he had done and everything and he said, you know what it is? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He looked at everything apart from God and he found it to be vanity, which means empty. How many people have you seen, even in the entertainment industry, that reaches the top? Oh, they're the top. Now look, they're the biggest box office drawer, or the biggest musician, or the singers, and look, people are crowding around them. Look like they've got everything. They just buy cars, and they just have everything, it seems like, going for them. Then they go take a bunch of pills and kill themselves. Jump off a building or hang themselves. Why? Because it was empty. Realize that, look, this all stuff didn't meet my need. We need something bigger than ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And listen, we that are church members, we can lose sight of this. You know, there's no shortage of distractions. I have found in my life that there's no shortage of things that seem very, very necessary at the time that have nothing to do with God. There's so many things that crowd our life that makes it seem like, oh, we've just got to have that. Oh, we got to do this. And yet it's got nothing to do with God. And we leave off God. And we leave off our relationship with Christ to pursue these other things. And we fill our days. You know, Satan, I believe, you know, you can imagine different things. Satan calls all his demons together and said, look, we got to do something now. We got to get these people up. They got the Word of God published now, and they got preachers all over the place. And man, they got people on the radio preaching the Word. And look, we're going to have to do something. And they began to talk about, well, what are they going to do? What are we going to do? And somebody says, I tell you what, I got an idea. What are we going to do? He said, let's keep them real busy. Let's keep them so busy that they can't hear the Word of God. Let's keep them busy, busy, busy. Keep them going, keep them going, keep them going. Don't ever let them get to where they can hear that still, small voice. I believe that's what Satan's doing, and I believe he's very successful. There's so many things that seem so important. But really, when we get to the end of our life, are they going to be that important? Look, if you knew you were going to die today, or let's say you're going to die tomorrow, would it not be some things you felt like you need to take care of? There's not some things that really you spent your last week on that you kind of regret. You look back on the week and you say, well, you know, there's a lot of things occupying my time. Seemed real important at the moment. But now, they just really don't seem that important. We need to live our life recognizing the purpose of life, Jesus Christ. A lot of times we kind of look at our situation, we'll begin to question God. So, God, why am I in this situation? Don't you understand my needs? Don't you understand that I need this thing or I need that thing? And listen, God, I really need this in order to survive. And a lot of times we even sin because we say, well, God, you should have put me in a better circumstance. You shouldn't have made me like this. You shouldn't have made my situation like this. We begin to complain and worry. We're kind of like Israel. We give Israel a hard time, but we're about as bad as they are. Listen, God, bring them out of the wilderness, feed them from manna. They begin to say, look, we're about tired of this manna. We're about tired of this. Can't you bring us something else? Can't you do something else? Where's the nice things? Boy, it was so much better back in Egypt. Oh, yeah, we had to do a little work. You know, we're just kind of amazed at their comments, aren't we? We're about the same way. Getting our situation, we begin to kind of complain and moan and groan. Say, God, you know, you're not taking care of me. Won't you understand? God is essential. He's your essential need. He makes a statement on the book of Philippians. He said, but my God, listen to this. Please listen. This is a very important. This is a very important statement. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I met a lot of people who felt like they really didn't have time to serve God. They felt like they didn't have time to worship Him. They didn't have time for church. They didn't have time for Sunday school. Listen, I'm too busy. I got things to do. They don't have time. They don't have time. Look, there's other needs. Listen, it's pressing. I tell you, they're always going to be pressing things. You need to put God first. God's going to take care of your needs. He said right there, He said, God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you've got Christ Jesus, everything else will be taken care of if you just put Him first. Now, is that not true? Or is this Scripture? Do I need to take this out of my Bible? Should I just bleep that out because it's not true? Or is it true? Do we believe it or not? I saw a young man one time, and he came to me and said, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I was filling in at a church. And he said, I want you to pray for me. And he said, I'm about to change my job. I feel like I'm going to. And he began to tell me where he was going to go to work. And I said, well, you know, where are you going to go to church? He said, well, you know, I mean, I'm going to come and go to church some. This job's going to keep me away a little bit. He said, you know, but I feel like it's up the Lord. God don't take us away from church. God doesn't do that. God does not lead us away from Him. He doesn't lead us away from Him. Now, it might be that He could have served Him, but by His statement, He told me that, no, I won't be able to serve Him the way I was. No, I won't be able to go to church quite as much. This job's going to carry me away from Him. But I think that's where God's leading. That's not where God's leading. That's not where God is leading. God doesn't lead you away from God. He draws you to Him. He draws you to Him. But He says, well, it's necessary. You know, kids are getting older, expenses are getting bigger, and look, there's things we got to have. He said, God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is Christ your essential need? Or is there other things in this life that you look on and you say, well, that's really more important? You've got your priorities confused. Look over to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Wonderful words. Matthew chapter 6. He makes a statement, be not ye therefore like unto them, speaking of the people that use vain repetition in their prayers. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Did you know that God knows what you need before you even ask Him? He does. He skips on down, or just skip on down in this same statement. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every time I read that scripture, I think about the story that was told about an old preacher that had gone to this man and tried to talk to him. So I said, well, listen, can you go talk to this man? He needs the Lord, and I want you to speak to him. And so he went to speak to him. And the man, when the preacher came up to him, he knew he was a preacher. And he said, look, don't even come near me, preacher. I know so-and-so sent you, but I don't want to hear what you have to say. He said, why are you so hard against God? Why are you so hard against me trying to help you? He said, let me just tell you my story. He said, when I was a young man, I was very ambitious, had some plans in life, going to do some things, going to build some things, going to be somebody. I had a lot of plans. And I left home, and my mother, she gave me a Bible. And in that Bible, she had underlined this verse right here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. She said, son, live by this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Listen, you got a lot of ambition, son. Some things you want in life. But listen, put God first. If you put God first, everything else will be taken care of. It kind of nagged at me. I don't know why she had to say that to me. She knew I had some things planned for my life. And so he went out on life. And after a while, maybe his conscience began to bother him. He said, well, I ought to go to church. So he went to church one morning. He picked out a little church. And so I go to that church. He went to church. Preacher got up. And he read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, and it made me mad. I left that church and I didn't return. I don't want to hear that, he said. And it was years later that maybe he began to think, well, maybe I have missed something. Maybe, you know, all the wealth that I've accumulated, the power, the prestige, maybe I need something else. So he said, I'll go back to church. He got to church and again, the man stands up and he reads this same verse. He says, I left that day determined never to hear another word from God. Never to hear another preacher. I don't want to hear it. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. He said, so preacher, take your stories, take your Bible, and get out of here. Years later, that same preacher was traveling through there. He said, whatever happened to that old man that you asked me to go visit? He said, oh preacher, I wish you'd go see him. He's in bad shape. He's lost his mind. But go see him anyway. He won't know you, but maybe you can go see him. So he went down to the little house that the man lived in, and he was sitting in a rocking chair. And the man just sitting there just blubbering. Just speaking incoherent words. He was just jabbering away, and he wasn't really saying anything. He didn't make any sense. But in the midst of his jabbering, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That man believed in his heart that God was pursuing him, and maybe God was. Maybe God was pursuing him. But what he did is he ran from God. He pushed him aside. Oh, what a generous God it is. What a wonderful God, a gracious God that brings messages like these words. Nothing to do with me. I'm not talking about what I'm saying. I'm talking about the Word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What a wonderful God it is that tells us that the bread of life is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God we have that tries to show us that what life is really about is not about food, it's not about cars, it's not about clothes, it's not about a job, it's not about popularity or being accepted by the world. It's about Jesus Christ. And how sad it is that we so often fail to see this. How sad it is that we want to block Him away. What a loving God. He tries to pursue us and show us who He is, and we push Him aside. The lost says, I'll have nothing to do with you. The saved says, I'm too busy. It's sad. I tell you, God's been good to us. God has been so good to us. I look at my life and I have to tell you that I owe Him so much. I owe Him my life. Without Him, I would be on the road to hell. Without Him, I would be on the road to hell. I may even be there by now. But He graciously saved me. And not only has He saved me, He's blessed me. He's given me health and strength and even an opportunity to serve Him. And yet how easily we can set Him aside. Let me ask you a question. Is there a lot of needs in your life? You got a lot of needs? Oh, you know, I need a little bit more sleep. I'd come to church, but you know, I just can't get up that early. Just can't quite get up. I need sleep. You know what you need more than sleep? You need God. Listen, I got to work, man. You don't understand. I got to work. I got bills to pay. You know what you need more than work? You need God. You need God. Oh, but you just don't understand. I don't have to. God does. And He told us that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Jesus Christ stood there hungry. Gone without food for 40 days. He was hungry. Satan says, look, man, turn these, turn these stones into bread. What's the big deal? But it wasn't the will of God. So Jesus, purposed to follow God instead. And I want you to notice what happened in the end. Did you notice what happened in the end? In the end, the angels came and ministered to Him. The angels came and ministered to Jesus. Did Jesus starve to death? No. You know, there was no threat of Him ever starving to death. He had to go to the cross and die. God was going to take care of Him. God wasn't going to let Him starve to death. God was going to take care of Him. There's no doubt God was going to take care of Him. You know what? You're not going to die 1 minute before God wants you to. You're not. You and I are not going to die 1 second before, what happened to Darren? I thought he was there. The next minute, boy, he's dead. God's not going to, my death's not going to slip up on God. One man said it like this, I'm invincible till God says different. That's true. Doesn't mean I'm going to go tempt Him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to start jumping out of airplanes or anything like that. I'm not going to tempt Him. But I do believe this. I believe I'm invincible. One man said, he began to witness to people at his job, tell people about Christ. And the boss man came up to him and said, listen, you better stop that. I'll fire you. He said, you're not going to fire me. God give me this job. God's going to take care of my needs. If God tells me to talk to people, I'm going to talk to them, you know. Why would we worry? Why would we agonize over our situation when God is our Lord and Master? Why would we? Why wouldn't we serve Him? Oh, but you just don't understand. There's so many other pressing needs. You have no greater need than Jesus Christ. He's to be the center of our lives. You that are here today and you're lost. Maybe you've got your name on a church roll. Don't you understand? It's not doing you a bit of good. You could have your name on 100 churches. Church membership will not enter heaven. God's not going to ask you as you die and you maybe meet Him and maybe you'd want to go into heaven. He's not going to ask you, well, what church did you belong to? He's going to look for the blood of Jesus Christ. If the blood's not there, you'll enter into heaven. I mean, enter into hell. It's the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood. Has the blood been applied to you? The blood is applied when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? You know the Lord? It's a very important question. It's a question that every one of us, me included, should ask ourselves. Do we know the Lord? If we died today, where would we go? I trust that it'd be in heaven. I trust that every one of us are saved. But realistically, I know that's not true. There's some here that right now, they're on the road to hell. We that are saved, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to live out our salvation. To show other people that, listen, something's different about us. We worship a living Savior. People, I'm convinced that, you know, people wonder, why aren't there more people saved? I believe part of it is the fact that the lost look at us that are saved and say, well, they're not too serious about it. Why should I be? They're not too serious. Why should we be? We need to serve God. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ, He's essential. He is our only essential need. We put Him first, everything else will be taken care of. I read about this story one time about this young boy that I think he'd gone through World War II and he had starved. He'd gotten real, real hungry. And he couldn't sleep at night. Even though he was in an orphanage at that time, he couldn't sleep at night. He had so anxious because he was afraid that tomorrow there wouldn't be any food. He'd experienced severe hunger. And he had a great fear that he would be hungry tomorrow. They fed him well. He would go to bed with a full stomach. But he would so agonize over tomorrow that he couldn't even sleep. So finally what they did, they gave him a loaf of bread to sleep with. And as he would lay there, he could sleep. Because he knew that he had what was essential. He knew he had what he needed. I mean, tomorrow's going to be okay because I've got bread. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. If we could ever see that we've got Christ, we wouldn't really agonize over this world. We wouldn't have to worry about all the things that we feel like we need if we could just see we've got Christ. But we need to see that.